Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Benning six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys, Nico Hoerner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
As Hoerner bats, he has hits in each of his first six career postseason games.
Ground ball, left side, base hit, left field. Nico Hoerner, a one-out single. Let's see if that sparks a rally. Nothing-nothing game, bottom of the first.
The Cubs have 14 total hits. He's got six of them. We're talking to Craig Counsell. He says this is exactly what Hoerner did the last 6 weeks of the season. He said he was just raining hits each and every game.
Lauren, you have more?
Yeah, I talked to Nico pregame, and he said, honestly, it's nothing mechanical that I've been doing differently these last 6 weeks. It's just the rhythm of the season. He said, as the year goes on, I always feel stronger, more connected at the plate, and more in sync with the flow of the game. He said, it's simple. I just feel healthy, confident, and like myself right now.
He's certainly playing to the best of his ability. Now an 8-game hit streak.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
It's pretty doggone fun when you look at what Nico is doing in the playoffs. He is hitting .429. He has an OPS in the playoffs of .985. I feel like that plays. I feel like it plays. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Cubs second baseman Nico Hoerner joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Nico, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We know that obviously you're busy and there are other things that you have to get ready to do. What was it like at Wrigley yesterday?
Yesterday was, you know, I feel like each elimination game we've played is kind of built on the one before it. It was weird playing an 8 o'clock game, but I think it kind of added to it. It was like just a little more intense at night. And I think it brought out the best in the fans and the players. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that was, do you hear everybody going, Freddie?
Oh man. Yeah. That was unexpected. I mean, obviously Cueto years ago in Pittsburgh had that chant going for him. That's the only other time I can remember something like that. It was loud.
Yeah, I go back to Daryl Strawberry used to get it. Daryl. Wow. So it's like, and Ron Darling was actually talking about it last night. He's like, you got to be pretty good to get that respect. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't do that for just anybody. You're right.
Do you think it got to him at all? Like, or did you guys just get to Freddie? Because you guys got to Freddie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some guy is going home last night in his Uber, like, yep, I started that chant. I got us game four, you know, like. So, you know, if that guy's out there listening, yeah, it definitely made a difference. But no, I don't know. He's a real great competitor and, you know, hard to say, obviously. But what a moment for Ian to start us off like that. And, you know, Peralta settled in pretty well after that. But to get those runs off him was huge.
It was, and you guys had this like offensive explosion in the game. There was a lift of some anxiety overall when Ian hits that bomb, and you could feel it through the television. I know the people that were there probably felt it too, and I can't imagine how good it felt for Ian. considering that he hasn't quite been himself. And there he has that moment. It was a beautiful thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that everyone knows that, you know, baseball in small sample sizes is really hard to read into. And for that reason, like, I think all of us as players would, you know, trade those hits here and there that make a difference between, you know, 200 or 300 in a seven game sample for the moments, right? That's what playoff baseball is about. Game changing swings, game changing defensive plays. And for a guy that's been in this organization for, you know, a decade now, like to have that moment, I'm sure he wouldn't trade anything in the world for that. That was incredible.
All right, so two things about the home run from Ian Happ with Nico Hoerner. One, when he crossed home plate, it looked like F yeah. Is that what he gave you on the double high five? Was that an F yeah from Ian?
I'm not sure. You gotta check the tape maybe. I gotta maybe go back and see that. You know, he's a stoic man. Yes. So that would be a lot from him. I promise you, he was feeling pretty good in that moment.
Yeah, that's why it was noticeable. I was like, wow, Ian just let out an F yeah. And then you were saying last night when I saw you in the clubhouse, your view, tell us about your view of that home run standing on second base.
Yeah, I mean, there's just kind of certain, you know, when that happened, I just felt like I really had like a mental image taking my secondary and the ball entering the strike zone and the impact of the bat. I just kind of like, whoa, that was something different right there. That was like a take a mental snapshot and remember that one. And, you know, there's so much stuff that you do every day that just you don't remember days and years later. But I feel like that was a moment in a swing that just, especially with our relationship and everything, that just really is going to stick with me for a long time. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool because I think people can relate. Sometimes like an experience is just so cool. When you're in that moment, you're like, man, I better remember this. I better lock this one in.
100%. Yeah. And obviously we have a lot more work to do, but it's important to acknowledge those things because so much work and time goes into that. And you gotta hold on to those.
How big a deal was it to get the performance from Matthew Boyd that you got?
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was so great and composed, and he pitched with passion and energy and like wasn't afraid to show that, but was still under control. And just like, it's a guy who's, I think I've said this before in here, but just like, I have so much respect for players that just continue to get better throughout their career. You know, he's been a big leaguer for so long, but you know, he's an all-star for the first time at this year and having gone through the surgeries and doing the rehabs. And it's just like, he's created so much confidence in himself by going through stuff. Right. So it's no surprise that, he comes out of an outing that doesn't go how he wanted into something really great. That was really uplifting for the whole group.
Nico, what would you say now that you have a wider breadth of postseason experience, what would you say is different between the postseason and the regular season?
I think the intensity of the early innings, I think that really stands out. It just like, it has that eighth, ninth inning feel from the start of the game, which is obviously amazing and exciting, but it is a lot. I feel like when I look up and the scoreboard is in the bottom of the fourth, top of the fifth, you know, it mental energy wise, it feels more like, man, I should be saying seventh or eighth right now kind of thing. So that's something, you know, players have told me, man, it's just like each pitch just carries just like a little more weight, and that all that really adds up. But I think that those same things also bring the best out of a lot of guys, and that kind of heightened focus is just a really exciting place to be. And so,
I mean, Lawrence has been saying it. Everything's high leverage. Like right from the get-go, it feels like high leverage. And we've seen starters taken out in the first, in the second, in the third. You guys have 11 runs in the first inning. 21 combined by the two teams in this series. It's like, but it really does set a tone, doesn't it? Like, I mean, when you have a lead in the first versus when you don't, does it feel different to your collective group?
I mean, scoring first is a huge deal in all times in baseball, but, which is, I think with all the pitching decisions and everything else that follows, just the kind of the game state in a series like this, I think it does matter a lot. Obviously a game five, everyone's going to, you know, empty whatever you have left of arms, no matter the score. So maybe a little less significant there, but it's a huge deal.
So you told the sideline reporter before the game that you feel more connected as the season goes on. You told them that. I don't know if you ever told us that. Like, what's up with that, man? You're sharing stuff with them?
Really? That's what we're doing?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to check in, you know? All it's right. Like...
feels like it should be a happy day today.
Yeah, it is. But how about Craig Counsell saying that he's just raining hits? That's fun. Hallelujah. It's raining hits, says the skipper.
That's fun. It's fun. As you know, like, the hits aren't always connected to hits come and go. They definitely do. You know, I've had some good batted ball luck so far this playoffs, but also had a lot of good contact and just solid contact that gives you a chance. And the level of pitching we're facing right now between San Diego and Milwaukee and the bullpens that we've seen is obviously a really high level. So there's just a straight up level of competition, and that's fun to get to. And, you know, sometimes it leads to good results and sometimes not, but, you know, put your head on the pillow at the end of the day, just like proud of the headspace that you're in and the way you're prepared and go from there. It's game five is obviously a test of, you know, how process are you, how results driven. Obviously you want both, but every day has been different.
Can we talk about Michael Bush for a second against lefties too? Like, he rips one down the right field line last night that Andrew Vaughn makes a nice stop. And then the home run later is on a lefty. Like, that guy, he's just doing it against everybody.
Yeah. Lined out to the track and left off a lefty the night before too.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously that's he's a great team player and he's going to take on, you know, whatever is asked of him. But I think there should be a point of personal pride in doing that and knowing that he can, and that's going to, you know, be an exciting thing to follow. And just as his career develops too, he's such a, you know, amazing player as is, but that's going to just be a continued thing that hopefully he gets more opportunities for in the future. And I get pumped when I see him drive a ball like that off a lefty. It's exciting.
We heard Craig talk about packing our bags. We get to pack our bags. Was that a thing in you guys' clubhouse? Was that a rallying cry that you guys had? Like, we want to pack our bags and get on the bus and go to Milwaukee.
No, not really. But yeah, obviously, I mean, from when we left the clubhouse in Milwaukee, obviously the intent is to get right back to that space. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible game five atmosphere there, but absolutely a point of pride in taking care of business at home and getting back on the bus and taking on whatever's ahead. It's exciting.
You seem loose today, man. I got to tell you, like, the whole group has seemed kind of loose for a couple of days, which is not necessarily how it goes when you come home down 2-0.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, definitely does not always feel that way. There's definitely heightened emotions with the playoffs on both ends of it. You know, there's even kind of securing the last out on the ball that, you know, Yelich hit me hard the other day to, you know, finish that game off. Like, it's an incredible feeling. And, but it was almost just like onto the next. Like, there's so much ahead always that it can definitely start pulling you onto the next thing. But like we've talked about, it's important to celebrate each other and celebrate the moments along the way too, even though the ultimate goals still has so much work left to do.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about the psychology of all of this because for the last week, I've been in the camp of, I want PCA to kind of be
the guy that he is. Like, no matter what, like, I think there's not a better time for him to be emotional and play like his hair is on fire. But that's not going to work necessarily for everyone on the team. Mm-hmm. So how have you gone about trying to regulate the joy with the responsibility?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's like, it's so, I think it's just whatever is genuine and embracing what you really are feeling. And obviously that can be extreme too, but you know, it wouldn't serve Pete any good to like try and act like Ian for this entire series, right? Like that'd be horrible for everybody. But, at the same time, like the emotions can take you to places where you're maybe outside of, you know, the best version of yourself too, for all of us. So, yeah, I mean, there's been times where I feel like, wow, I feel like maybe I should have been like more, why was I not more fired up there? Like that was awesome. But you know, it's just like, you can't force it. And I think if your intent is on the task at hand and the preparation and the sharing moments with your teammates, and that stuff comes out naturally when it has to. And you guys see that from me throughout the year. There's times where I don't really react. There's times where I do. I don't really know why, but I prefer it that way than like trying to force something, you know?
How fun would it be though if Ian became Pete?
No, I'd be really scared, honestly. I'd be concerned for him. He's starting to dress like him though. He's got his new playoff fits. I don't know if you guys have seen any pictures.
Oh, but Ian's, yes. But let's discuss. Ian's, I'm really glad you brought it up. Yeah,
Ian's gone all swaggy and baggy on us in this past week. So I like it. He's not afraid to get out of the box a little bit.
Yeah, it was like a brown kind of leisure suit thing with plaid on the sides of both the sleeves and the legs. Yeah, would you wear that if asked?
You know, I actually missed that one. I heard about that one. He's had a nice variety of new stuff, you know, I think it's telling of a confident man that he can be in a heightened playoff space and still be willing to try new things. You know, he could be like, no, I want my athleisure golf stuff. I just want to stick to it. You know, maybe the off season I'll try something else. But no, he's like, you know, I'm confident in my game. I know that this doesn't define me. Like, I'm gonna try some new stuff right now and have some playoff changing moments at the plate.
Yeah, well, and it's also indicative of a new marriage and, like, you know, sharing some aesthetic sensibilities. And maybe this is what's coming your way, Mr. Engaged.
That's right. It takes two to tango. I guess that's another part of playoff stuff that, you know, back to our earlier question, is cool, is like, it's really a shared community thing. Like, you know, the wives and the families and the kids and everyone that's involved, because they're really here every day for this, and they're going through the emotional ups and downs too. And everyone's coming out on the field after the game and celebrating together, and, you know, the post game celebration of San Diego. And it really starts to create some special sense of community. And, you know, I know for my fiance and Ian's wife and people that have been here for a while, it's a really special thing to be a part of. And they're living and dying along with it too. So yeah, that's another really cool part.
Our partner in crime, Layla Rahimi, who is on in middays, and she just happens to be hanging out here getting ready for the marathon. She handed us a note that said, and we're going to need some verification from you on this, Nico, is Dansby wearing an Indiana Jones hat?
I mean, it's not up to me to classify. I'm not well-versed in those hats. I think he feels a little something when he puts it on, and I like that. I'll let him, you know, maybe define that, but I like when he does it. He's a handsome man. He can pull off a lot of good looks, and I like when he wears the hat.
You know, it takes a lot to be a hat guy. Like, I've tried. I've had portions of my life where, like, you commit to it. Not a baseball hat, but like a fedora or whatever kind of hat.
I was going to say, you seem like a fedora and a jazz club kind of guy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I got my first cowboy hat this year.
You did?
Yeah, buddy had the 50th birthday party that was cowboy theme. I went over to Alcala's and got myself a hat.
Yeah, I can't do that. I had like sort of a fedora kind of a thing. How about you? Do you own any non-baseball hats, sir?
Yeah, have one. You know, I wore it wine tasting one time and kind of hated myself. So
yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I feel like you could pull off like a Pinky Blinders, like one of those type of hats. You could do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be like a Chicago winter going to a, you know, dark dinner kind of thing, maybe. But yeah, I need to up my game. I wear a lot of beanies, but that's not very exciting.
We had a texter ask somebody an important question. Are you good at packing? I like he would suggest that ball players have to be really good at packing.
Well, think about it, though. Like, the pack your bags thing, sure, it's the trip to Milwaukee, but it might also be the trip to L.A. that these guys are packing for, too.
Yeah, you pack. You absolutely pack for L.A. this morning. You know, the flight would leave, if we win, leaves after the game. So, yep, it's a pack, a little five-day pack. Took me 12 minutes around, I'd say. I think it was pretty good, pretty efficient. I feel pretty dialed in by this time of year with what I need, and I'm a good packer.
Would you say that your fundamentals of packing have kicked in, or is it just that you're in you know, end of season form, that's what it's about?
You know, I think a lot of guys probably took longer today as they're trying to put playoff fits together, as they say, and so I think, you know, I kind of stick into my basics pretty solid, but yeah, I feel good about it.
If you were doing a packing wins above replacement, who's the worst? Yeah. Who's the worst on the team? Who struggles in this regard?
I mean, it depends how you – I think some guys have helped. You know, we've had the emergence of stylists, so I don't know how that fits into all this.
That's a good question.
Because, yeah, you got someone else picking up war for you. That's a sensitive topic maybe, but I don't know. We got a nice variety. I feel like everyone knows themselves on our team. I don't feel like anyone's trying to be anyone they're not when it comes to dressing, and I like that.
Yeah.
And although I do wish we had – I wish we had, like, an over-the-top, like, Pedro Strop. More so, like, because he was, man, he could really put together outfits, and he always smelled amazing.
Oh, just, incredible. Like, for miles, you could smell him across the room in a delightful way.
Yeah, and a great voice. Like, I don't know, it just all fit. You know, he put on the Gucci whatever, and it was like, that's exactly what it's supposed to look like.
Well, speaking of people like Pedro Strop, Cubs alumni have been out here for you guys.
Cool, and right?
Yeah, well, what's it like for you to know that different generations of Cubs alums have come to support this team?
Yeah, I got to see Jay Hay before the game yesterday, and you know, he's been a really influential person in my career, so it was cool to just even briefly say hi and check in right before obviously going out for a big game. And yeah, I think it's cool on the alumni, but I think it speaks to what Wrigley and these fans mean to people, right? That they want to come back and they want to experience it again. And I think it's probably pretty thrilling to be able to watch the game from that perspective and know that you used to be out there doing that. It's, I mean, when I watch playoff baseball, even now, like watching, you know, I'm going to watch the Tigers Mariners game tonight. Like it's kind of like, wow, like we're doing that too, huh? Like, so to sit in the stands at Wrigley and watch a playoff game and know that you know, brought that much joy to people too with a World Series run, that's got to be an incredible feeling.
Speaking of the other playoffs, I wanted to go to Philly and hug Orion Kerkering, you know, when they get back. But like the teammates after were so cool. Castellanos made sure to walk off the field with him, you know, and like have his back, and Schwarber said some incredible things after the game. It's an opportunity to be a great teammate.
Yeah. Those two guys had the luck. I was lucky to play with, and not surprised by that at all. I mean, sports can be really cruel, right? He's a nasty, nasty pitcher, and you know, not a guy you want to face with the game on the line. And you know, sometimes it's just the game exposes you, and the opportunities for joy and for things like that are high in the playoffs, and it's part of why it, you know, feels so good. It also hurts so bad. But I think that sense of team is what makes all of that like more manageable, and, you know, obviously tough one for him, but it's so cool that they have the sense of community there for that.
From the standpoint of a teammate, because we're seeing all of it from the outside, we're hearing a lot of the information about it second or third hand about Kyle Tucker. Considering the responsibility of being the guy that got traded for and a guy that some people would think, well, he's the piece that this team has been missing, the level of relief for him yesterday to go lefty-lefty and go yard in a very meaningful way for what that did to kind of change how that game felt.
Yeah, I mean, Tuck, look, when you miss time, it's challenging. Like, I can't speak for him and what he's been feeling, but I know anytime I've even come off the 10-day injured list, like, there's just a, even if you're healthy, there's just like a little level of just, you're a little disoriented, things are a little off. Doesn't mean you can't produce, but to do that while joining the playoffs, like, that's a really, really challenging thing, even for one of the game's best hitters. So just that his quality of at bat has been so good, and he's been getting on base and against, you know, the best pitching in the sport, like, is really impressive to me. And then obviously to break through with some slug yesterday was, I imagine, just felt amazing to him. A really impressive swing. Like, that was way back left side of center off a lefty. And, you know, he impacts the game every day just with the quality of his bat. But as we know, can flip a game upside down really quick. So, yeah.
I think, Nico, a big part of that vibe last night at the stadium was probably a crowd that was grateful to get another night because you guys won the night before, cool. You know? And that's what you're doing. Every time you guys go out and win a game, you're extending the season and extending the opportunity for enjoyment. So keep it going, man. It's a big deal you're doing for baseball fans in this town.
Yeah, thank you. I think we felt the same way. Obviously, you know, it all works backwards from winning the World Series, and that is, you know, the driving force behind all of it. But, yeah, none of that's possible without just the next day. And I felt like we all had a similar feeling to the fans, too, taking the field at Wrigley again. And then now, you know, making sure that we play there again. And, like, it's a special thing to get to have as home. And we definitely don't take it for granted.
Good luck tomorrow night. We look forward to talking to you next week, Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good to me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.